In terms of the next question, what was the general sort of response from like institutions like school and like maybe applying for jobs or something like that? Like, how was the response and like were they able to like deal with it? Were they helpful and supportive, or were they sort of like skeptical and they didn't know, they were not really fair and they didn't know how to deal with it?
In primary school, there was no support put into place. When I would return to school after having time in hospital, there would be no one there to help me catch up with what I'd missed. I was literally pushed aside. While I was in secondary school, for the first few years, I received no help. I had an educational healthcare plan, but it was not followed. So, for example, I had a TA who I was made to share with a student with completely different needs to me. I think he had behavioural needs, which is obviously very different to my needs, which is like learning difficulties and like more physical, you know. It's like he had a completely different diagnosis to me. So the TA's attention would go on that one student. So I would sit the whole lesson not knowing what to do, and I would get in trouble because I wasn't able to complete my classwork or my homework on time. I eventually moved secondary schools because of having such a difficult start in my first secondary school. My second secondary school were literally amazing, and I had a few amazing years. They were so supportive and they literally followed my EHCP to the T. I wasn't scared to ask them for help, and if I didn't, like, if I wasn't happy with something, they would quickly sort it out for me. During those years, my grades went up quite a bit. I went to the same sixth form as my secondary school, but my previous Senko team had left, so the staffing was almost new. I had barely any support during sixth form. My EHCP was not followed, and they did things such as taking away my support without asking me. It wasn't until I walked into their office really frustrated and upset because they were taking my TAs away from me in classes that I badly needed one. And my mum came into school for a meeting to express her annoyance about this, so they reluctantly agreed to give me my TAs back. I spent 70% of year 13 in hospital, and when I returned in school, I asked for help with getting back on track, but that never happened, and I really feel like their lack of support and understanding had a massive impact on the grades that I received at A levels.
It really feels like you were let down a lot by the sixth form.
Massively. It, I felt like all they cared about at sixth form was the fact that I was lowering their attendance, which schools hate when you lower their attendance.
Wait, you mentioned they took away your TA. Like, how does.
So I have TAs for my classes, and it was actually like psychology that they took a TA away from. And I was like, I really need a TA in this class. And I, do you know what? I think we were studying biopsychology at that point. I was like, I love psychology, but biopsychology, I feel like that's the most scientific part of psychology. So I was like, I really need a TA in my lesson. Like, I need it whether we were studying biopsychology or attachment. Like, I need a TA. I never gave you permission to get rid of my TA, you know? And it was actually at that point that my shun started playing up. And, like, yeah, I just didn't like the fact that they took my TA away from me. And, like, when I said to them, I really need a TA because I don't feel well today. And, like, I can't focus in this lesson. I need that extra support. They just refused to give me back my TA until my mum came in and, like, said, this can't be happening. And then they gave me the TA back, but they weren't happy about having to do that.
Do you know what I've taken from that is that they don't want to listen to the child, even though it's their life and their ex like what they're experiencing. It's only when the parent comes in that they're like, oh, now we need to take it seriously. It's like, no, if I say something, I know what I'm talking about.
And I think it's really bad because also, apparently, a lot of the sixth formers at my school, even if they have an EHCP, apparently a lot of them like decided against having a TA in their lessons, which is fine, fair enough, but I wanted one in there because I wouldn't have been able to cope without having one.
Yeah, and your education is about doing what's right for you to be able to make the most of it.
Exactly. Like, to be honest, the TAs that I had in sixth form, they weren't that helpful either. Like, I remember, like, I would, like, the teacher would, like, explain the task. I wouldn't understand it. So I'd, like, say to the TA, I didn't understand this. What am I supposed to be doing? They'd literally, like, go to me and they'd be like, I don't know. I wasn't listening. I was like, the whole reason you're here is to help me. So, like, not, like, it annoyed me that they took away my TAs, but also I didn't feel like the TAs were helpful either. So, like, either way, I wasn't receiving support.
Was that in sixth form specifically or throughout your whole education?
In sixth form. When I was, when I moved schools and I had the few amazing years, I, like, really benefited from the TA. So, like, I would have TAs that were, like, really interested in the subject. So, like, you know, I would have, like, a TA that was, like, really interested in maths and a TA who was really interested in, not science, English. And then, like, the more, like, generic subjects, they weren't, like, specialised in them, but they were, like, interested in them, if you know what I mean. Like, it, like, especially maths and English. And I'm actually a lot better at English than I am maths, but, like, it really helped me having, like, a maths TA.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, has your experiences with the education system in primary, well, you said you had no support during primary, has that been kind of a catalyst as to why you decided to do primary education and you want to go into educational psychology?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, it sounds, I always feel like people who have experiences with it, or negative experiences, are always more, like, motivationally inspired to do it compared to people who just decide they want to.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, I don't want another child to, like, have the same difficulties as I did.
Yeah. And you, to comment more on the lack of support during primary school, how did that affect you during primary school and going into secondary school?
You know what, even to this day, I still struggle with, like, basic skills, like, basic math skills, like, I still can't read the time. Like, I very much rely on a digital clock. And, like,
yeah,
I feel like because, like, my primary school teachers didn't take the time to teach me those basics that I missed, it really affected me. And especially in secondary school, I found it really difficult where, like, would be in a maths lesson and, like, teachers, they would get annoyed at me and, like, they would say, you learned this in primary school, you should know this, it's primary school level. And I'd be like, I wasn't there for the primary school stuff, so I'm still learning the basics.
Yeah, I think that's an issue with the education system that needs to be addressed, actually.
Definitely.
Also, like, one of the other things that I wanted to mention when talking about primary school, you mentioned that you had TAs that you shared TAs with, like, kids with totally different diagnosis than yours, which seems like it shouldn't be the case. Like, TAs kind of should be, like, catered to, like, each, it should be, like, more one-on-one. So, like, considering, like, that kid might have had, like, learning disability issues and stuff like that, so they should have a separate sort of, like, TA catering to their needs, and you should have had, like, a separate TA catering more to your needs in terms of, like, helping you catch up and helping you understand your lessons, and also catering to your sort of, like, physical disability and, like, times you missed when you were in hospital.
Yeah, because, like, I do know that, sure, there are some students that are capable of sharing a TA with a few other students, but I myself, like, it's literally in my plan that I have a one-to-one TA, because that's what I personally need. And if I look back now, that child, I feel like he also needed a one-to-one, because my TA's attention, like, there was no attention going on to me because he solely needed all of, like, the attention going on to him just because of what his needs are.
And I think the thing is that, unfortunately, we're discussing about the TA, but it's the TA was put in that position. It's the school who should have noticed and gone,
yeah,
this is something we need to fix, because the TA was probably doing their best in that situation and obviously just not meeting both needs because they were so wildly different. And schools should have the funding to be able to give every child what they need. I think that's the point here, is that schools need funding.
Yeah, I really agree. And I feel like it's just not there. And I feel like also another thing I wanted to mention was, like, there was another time that I felt really discriminated against. So I had some fainting episodes. This was like years ago in like year eight. It was like, it's not related to my orthostatic hypertension. Anyways, so I had some fainting episodes, went into hospital. It was all sorted out, completely fine. The fainting stopped. But obviously we told the school to make them aware of it. For absolutely ages, the school, they wouldn't let me use the stairs at school. They literally discriminated against me. And they were like, you're a health and safety risk in case you faint on the stairs, because you'll hurt other people if you faint on the stairs. And I was like, I'm not. I've told you, I'm not fainting anymore. I am perfectly fine to use the stairs.
I had a similar situation with the seizures. And they were like, because I said at one point they were triggered by reading, they were like, well, you're not allowed to read at lunch or break, and you're not allowed to read unless you've got a teacher nearby you. And I was like, how can they tell me these specific things that we're not allowed to do?
It's just discriminating. Like, you know your body better than them.
Yeah. But anyway, you had other things to say.
So obviously I wasn't allowed to use the stairs, and like, I literally remember, like, if they were standing by the lift waiting for me, I had no choice but to use the lift. But I would literally, like, go around the school and, like, try and get up the stairs without them seeing me. Because if they saw me using the stairs, they would have a go at me in front of everyone. Like, there was a fire alarm once, which I'm pretty sure everyone knew was just a practice. But still, I just went along with everyone else and used the stairs, as you do. And then the TA shouted in front of me, in front of everyone, sorry, like, she got so angry about me using the stairs and said the lift, and it's like,
it's a fire drill.
Lift. It's a fire drill. You're not supposed to use the lift in a fire drill. If you really are, like, so uptight about me using the stairs, then you should be trained to get me down the stairs.
Yeah.
Without me walking. And then it wasn't until they made us get a letter from my consultant with him writing to say she's perfectly fine to use the stairs that they eventually let me use the stairs. But it's like, that literally wasted my consultant's time, because he didn't need to write that letter to say she can use the stairs. Like, it should have been enough, me and my mum saying I don't need to use the lift at school.
Yeah, it's like, there was no need for them to go that far with it.
Yeah, and I also felt really embarrassed as well, because other students would go up to me and they'd go, why are you using the lift? And like, I felt so embarrassed. I was like, I actually don't need to use the lift. So I felt really embarrassed.
No, I had teachers, when I started having seizures, I was told I wasn't allowed in school unless I was going into a lesson, because it was sixth form, so we had three periods. And when I was in school, I had to leave as soon as the bell was rang to go home. I wasn't allowed to stay back. I had to stay back one day to give someone a folder, because they needed it for coursework or a project or something. My like head of year was screaming at me about it, and I was like, and I burst out crying. I went outside and burst out crying, because it's embarrassing to be told at any age, you're not allowed to do this, why are you doing this, when you know your capabilities. In the fire alarm situation, for example, like, if you weren't feeling confident you could get down those stairs, I'm sure you wouldn't have taken those stairs, or you would have asked for help. So for them to scream at you, it's like, I know myself, don't expect that you know more than me about my body.
Exactly. Like, I was like, although I'd like just come out of hospital, when I returned to school, I was feeling all better again. Like, there was no need for me to use the lift, and I would have told them if I didn't feel well.
Yeah, something the nurse, one of the specialist nurses, wrote in a letter to my school for me, which I found actually was really helpful when I had it. is to provide a quote unquote support with no fuss approach, which means I give what I think I need as support. They could question it if they think I needed more or less support, whatever, but the no fuss was the main point. And I was like, I'm glad they put that in. The school didn't necessarily follow it all the time, but the fact that it was labeled as a support with no fuss meant that I was able to say, hang on, the nurse said no fuss and this is you fussing over me.
I think that's really good. Like, I think I would have really benefited from that at those sort of times.
Yeah, I was really happy when the nurse said that. I was like, thank you.
I love nurses that are like that.
Literally, yeah.
Also, like, another question I had was, you mentioned your primary school and, like, your secondary school as well, like, not following your education healthcare plan.
Yeah.
Are there any sort of, like, potential consequences that schools might face if they don't follow it, or is it just like nobody keeps a track of whether a school's following a student's healthcare plan?
I actually don't know. So in primary school, I don't think I even had a healthcare plan in primary school. I don't think anyone like went to like, I don't know the procedure, but I don't think like my primary school put the procedure in to get me a healthcare plan. I think my healthcare plan was only implemented when I joined secondary school, but like when they didn't follow it, I don't know, to be honest with you, but I do remember having the meetings and like the council being there, and like it took a lot for me to like say in front of like the council that like the school aren't like following my plan, and like I can't be at this school because it's not a good fit for me. I do remember like the school, the looks they gave me, like they were literally giving me such dirty looks. They looked so angry at me. And I feel like that was probably because I'd said like in front of like the council that the school aren't doing what they should for me. So I don't know if like behind like closed doors, but yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
No, because you'd think like, obviously like this is very important to follow and sort of like cater to each student's need. And like, you'd think like there should be consequences when schools don't really follow it, but like, it doesn't look like that anything happens or anything changes.
I think it ultimately depends on like the staff, because obviously, as I said, like when I moved schools, the Senko team then, they were amazing. So it literally depends on the staff, I think.
Have you had to take breaks or anything like that because of your health and because of how the schools have potentially not been very good? Has your education been affected in terms of length and duration?
Oh yeah, massively. So obviously I've always been at an in-person school, but because of my illness, I've had to take a lot of breaks away from it. And with the amount of time I've had off school over the years, I've had no choice but to try and get some schoolwork done while I've been in hospital or off school ill. So while I was in the children's ward, I actually had hospital teachers that would give me lessons whenever I felt semi-well enough. And they would also communicate with the school. The hospital teachers, they were really helpful, but I think that due to me having so much time off school and probably a result of my brain surgeries, I struggle a lot academically. But I did have 5 years where I was in remission, and I was able to keep up with a lot of my classes. I was even at the top end of some of them. It was mainly maths and science where I was at the lower end, but those years where I was in remission and I had a lot of support, I was actually like quite on target, to be honest.
That's good. Also, hospital teachers, I've never heard about before. Are you able to explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, I think they're only at like more specialized hospitals. But honestly, hospital teachers, it's an amazing like thing. Like, I will admit, like, personally, I actually liked having the lessons because it made me feel a little bit, I think normal's the wrong word, but it made me feel a little bit more normal.
Yeah, I get that.
And like, it was kind of like, okay, my friends are at school, I'm at school as well, but just not at a typical school. I'm just doing school from the hospital. So I personally like the idea of hospital school, but there are some children that absolutely hated it. I do remember some children complaining they didn't want to like do their lessons in the hospital, but I feel like it was a massive benefit for me. So I'm doing Open Uni on a part-time schedule, so that means I only take one module a year instead of two, and I even struggle to keep up with part-time uni. Open Uni means that I have deadlines to hit as you would at an in-person uni, but it also means that I'm able to work at my own schedule. All lectures are recorded for everyone if anyone can't attend. This was my first year at the OU, but I do know we have a different tutor for each module. My tutor this module was so supportive and gave me extensions on my first two assignments, which really helped me. If I had to attend an in-person uni where you went to like in-person lectures, I would definitely have to drop out now.
How have you found OU overall then? Really supportive? Is there like, in an in-person uni, for example, you have disability teams and inclusion officers and student reps and things to help bring everything together. So is that something that the OU does, or is it just you're communicating with your module supervisor?
Yeah, so at the Open Uni, they do have, I think it's called DSA. Is that what
DSA? DSA is a government scheme, so yeah.
Yeah, so they do have that, and I'm pretty sure I'm entitled to it, I think. I mean, I don't see why not. But I will admit, this is literally nothing to do with the Open Uni. I think it's more so of my experience with secondary school that I'm now too nervous to ask for that support because of my experience with my sixth form. But I think with this next module that I'm going to be starting in October, I think I do need to try and utilise that support because it is there for me to use, but I've just been too nervous to utilise it. So this module, I mainly just relied on like talking to my tutor.
DSA is honestly such a godsend. I don't think I would have been able to do 2 years in uni without like the support it's provided. It's been so good.
What sort of support do they give you?
So last year, in first year for me, I had a printer in my room and paper that they provide. That just meant I didn't have to walk to the library every time I wanted to print something out, because last year it wouldn't have been a problem for me. However, this year it really would have been a problem. I wouldn't have been able to do that. Not that I actually printed much out, I've realised. I didn't print much out. So I had the printer and paper. I have a laptop from DSA which has specific software on it for text to speech or speech to text. Yeah, text to speech and speech to text, either way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've also got, because I'm doing a scientific degree, they've got like a specific medical dictionary on there, so it helps with spelling of medical dictionary words that you might be speaking, and most dictation software might be like, I have no clue what you've just said. And I've got other things as well. I've got like recordings for lectures, so they can record lectures and everything. And something I got this year, which has been incredibly, incredibly helpful, is travel allowance from DSA to help me get to and from university, because not allowed to drive. Buses can be quite difficult depending on how I'm feeling that day. And especially in a wheelchair, if I've got a 9 a.m, I can't get on a bus because it's too busy. So I have to take a taxi. So the travel allowance has honestly been the thing that's kept me being able to go to university this year. And I would highly recommend anybody who is able to get travel allowance goes ahead and does it. They are very strict with the evidence and the reasoning why you need it, but once you get it, it is so helpful.
I don't think I'll need the travel allowance because I'm lucky that my mum like is able to drive. she works from home, and like we have a bit more flexibility with that, but like DSA, like regardless, I do feel like next year, well, it'll be this year, it's October, I do really need to make use of it and like try and not be like so nervous to use it.
But I do think that's an issue, is when you've grown up having to ask for things and being rejected and or even told this isn't like, don't be silly, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah,
you are so scared to ask for anything. It's like, it's bad that we don't feel welcome to just state, I need this.
It's crazy. Did you have a healthcare plan while you were in secondary school, or did you only start needing like the educational sort of support when you went to uni?
So my condition started halfway through year 12. So, and I'd moved to a new school for sixth form. And for the first part, for year 12, I didn't even tell the school about it because even I didn't know. I had no diagnoses at that point. But over the summer, when it became worse, I did start speaking to the school. So when I went in for year 13, I did say I will need a little bit of support. So I had a chat with my head of sixth form, who is someone I absolutely, in hindsight, loved. But I think the relationship at that point was a little bit difficult because she was obviously a teacher who had to say no to certain things or say blah, blah, blah about my attendance. And I know she had to in hindsight, but at the time it was like, please don't. And so I had a conversation with her and I said, I can't answer questions in class. I do not have the capacity right now for a teacher to ask me a question and to follow my train of thought to be able to get it out of my mouth. And so I had things like that. And then when the seizures started, which was towards the end of year 13, I don't think my school handled it very well. They told me I wasn't really allowed in. They told me I wasn't allowed to stay after school. I was a sort of student before that who would stay till 6 p.m. every day revising in the student centre and doing work. And they were like, you're not allowed to anymore. They put in place that I couldn't go to the bathroom alone, which is fine. So someone would have to go with me, but then that's disturbing someone else's education. So my friend would go with me to the toilet, but they put a 5-minute limit on me being out of the classroom to go to the toilet. And 5 minutes was not enough time to walk to the toilet.
That doesn't make sense to put a limit. Like, I'm sorry, you need to back by this time. You can't be in toilet for that long.
So I literally, I had to run to the toilet, go to the toilet, and then we would have to run back. And my teacher, like, I think she did it as a joke because I really liked my biology teacher who set she set a timer just to see if I could do it. But like, genuinely, some teachers, they have to follow the rules, the healthcare plans that are put in place. They can't just, if I say, honestly, miss, I know they've said that I need that, but I really don't. They have to follow it because that's what's been written, and they can get told off for not. So the school put in place a load of things that were so not needed. Another thing was they didn't actually give me a place to go and have a seizure if I felt one coming on. So I ended up having a couple in like the school toilets and things like that. And not even because it was after lockdown, there were specific toilets for specific years. So they were in like the year 7 toilets or something, because that was closest to where my classroom was. And my friends were leaving class to deal with it. And then I was getting messages and meetings with the school saying, you can't take other people out of class. And I'm like, and I said sorry to my maths teacher when I left her class once, and I was like, I'm so sorry that I left without saying anything and that I took my friend with me. And she said to me, don't be silly, like, your safety is more important than being in class and a friend being there. Like, you can both catch up. It's like, it should never have been the responsibility of my friends. I was never offered a TA, even though I think it would have been something that could have been very useful, because I was not able to focus at all. And it shouldn't have been up to my friends.
No, do you know what, that, like, then in the period where they took my TA away from me, there was one time, I can't remember exactly what happened, But there was one time where I was just having like a really bad day with like my brain fog and everything, that I would have really needed a TA that day. I was lucky that like the person next to me, she was like really nice, and like she like helped me, and like she wrote down the answer for me, because I like couldn't write at that time. Because actually in school I use the laptop, because I find it a lot easier for me to use a laptop. But my teacher, she no matter how many times I told her, she wouldn't email me the worksheets. She gave me everything on paper. So it was really helpful that this girl, she discussed a question with me that I didn't understand, and she also wrote for me. Like, she did her own work and mine as well, which she shouldn't have had to do. That should have been the TA.
Yeah, I agree. They put a lot of pressure on friends to just help you out, and that is so much responsibility on someone who doesn't have any responsibility for you.
Exactly. They shouldn't have to, but like, it's such a big issue in education.
Yeah.
And I also struggled with the fact that I don't know about your school, but my school was so strict about phones. And I actually, if I'm not comfortable with you, I won't tell you that I don't feel well. So I will literally just sit in silence, and I probably come across rude because I'm not talking. But I'm not being rude, I just don't feel well enough to maintain a conversation.
Yeah.
And as I said, I'm very like, I find it difficult to tell people when I don't feel well. Like, I have to really trust you. Luckily, my friends, like, they know when I don't feel well. I don't even have to say anything to them. They just know.
Yeah, my friends too.
They're the true friends. Like, they literally just know. And like, when you don't feel well, they don't take offense to you not wanting to talk to them. They just wait until you're ready to talk. And like, I really like relied on my phone so that I could like text my mum if I didn't feel well, because I felt more comfortable doing it like that way rather than going directly to the school. Like, it was like a safety net for me. But then if I was to like have my phone out, like texting my mum for like that reason, and like there was like the odd few times where like the teachers, like, they would like have a massive go at me, and like they would give me a warning and about like having my phone taken away. Like luckily it was only a warning, but still, I think like it shouldn't be that big of a thing where they take your phone away just for having it out, like, on your like part when you're passing your way to class. Like, it's not like I was using it like just for fun while the teacher was talking. It's literally while I'm at break, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my school was in sixth form not very strict about phone usage, and I made it clear that I need my phone out because I have to note things down. And I don't know whether with any of your symptoms you've ever had to do this, but recordings, video recordings of the symptoms, for me, the seizures, whatever it is. And so a lot of the time in school, my friends would whip out their phone, my phone, whoever's phone, to record me. And it's quite funny because a lot of people passing by would be like, someone's on the floor having some sort of episode and you are recording that person. Like, that's really bad, but it's sometimes required. But yeah, my school wasn't strict about phones, thankfully.
Yeah, mine was really strict. But like, going back to like the recording, like, okay, some people may question it, but also we know that like you need it recorded so A, yourself, you can see what's happening.
Yeah. Because
you probably don't remember what's happened, and it's easier to describe it to your medical professionals when you have appointments, because like, if you have a seizure, like, do you remember your seizures?
My memory is patchy. Like, I can remember some things but not everything completely.
Yeah, so it's probably easier to describe to your medical professionals if you can give them a video rather than have like for your memory, which is patchy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So like, what's the general sort of like reaction that you receive from people when you tell them about your condition?
So when I tell people about my IOH, they've actually never heard of it before. I have lost friends over the years as a result of my illness, but my two friends are very accommodating and understanding. So if I felt ill at school, my friends would understand that I wasn't being rude by not talking to them. They would just understand that I simply did not have the energy to talk. Instead, they would just be there for me and they wouldn't take any offence at all. If I have to cancel plans because I don't feel well enough, they understand that as well. Or if I feel well enough to see my friends, but not well enough to go out like we originally planned, they're happy to change plans and just, like, you know, have a relaxed few hours sat inside watching TV and chatting. But on the flip side, people who don't know me or anything about IH, they're very unaccommodating. I've had it put down to me being lazy or rude. I've been told you don't look ill. I've been told you were fine yesterday, so why aren't you now? If I've had a bad day, I've just had people walk away from me because they can't cope with it. And if I can't do a task on a bad day because my brain can't put the steps together, like, because I get brain fog, and you know what the brain fog is like.
Yeah.
People like get annoyed at me for not being able to understand the task. So there really are like two different sides to it.
Yeah, no, it's, definitely.
It's just like, I can to a certain extent understand that, like, not knowing about the condition, but sort of like that aspect of like willful ignorance and just being outright rude to the person and just being like, you were fine yesterday, why are you not fine now? And just not willing to understand, that is like the aspect that I fail to understand. Like, it's not that hard to just be nice to someone.
No, it's not. It's really like, I still don't understand how it's still an issue.
Yeah. I think
the biggest misconception is that IOH is just a headache that paracetamol can fix. If that was the case, then we would just be on a paracetamol prescription, you know, like, the shunt surgeries wouldn't exist. Another big misconception is that weight loss is a cure. Weight loss is not a cure. And also, with IOH, one of the symptoms is losing your vision. A lot of people think that the only type of vision loss is like directly in front of you, but that's actually not the case. So there are actually different types of vision loss. So for me, I can see fine straight in front of me, but my peripheral vision is like very limited. And in the past, I've also struggled with double vision that's came and went. However, some people have complete vision loss. There's literally so many different types of vision loss, but I've had people that have like said to me, oh, you can go on your laptop so you can see, when it's not as simple as that.
It's very dynamic. It's very different person to person. And
yeah.
I don't think people are aware of that. Like, I've had people say, when two of us have had the same condition, oh, you're nothing like blah, 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 whoever the other person is. And it's like, yes, because I am a different person. I am not whoever the other person is.
Exactly. We're all different, but no one's the same.
Yeah. I think that's something people need to wrap their head around, society as a whole.
I agree massively.
Yeah.
Also, like, the next question was, like, how do you sort of, like, communicate your needs to educators and just, like, people in general?
So I usually will send an email and just explain what's going on at the time. But I also had regular meetings at the school, which my mum also attended to help me communicate my needs.
Is that the same in university as it's in school, or...?
I haven't had any meetings in university yet.
Oh, fair enough.
Also, like, kind of related to the misconceptions, I guess. Like, the next question is, have you experienced discrimination or bias as a result of your condition? And how has this sort of, like, affected you personally?
Yeah, so I think I touched on it earlier that I have lost a number of friends because either I couldn't do a simple task or I had to cancel plans. At first, this massively affected me, but now I don't think I would say anything to them, because if they only want to be friends with people who are never ill or never get anything wrong, then I don't really want to associate myself with those type of people.
I think that's a really mature way to view it. I think that's...
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Is there any more things like discrimination in school that you faced? Or I don't know if you've applied for jobs or had a job or anything, but in those circumstances as well.
Yeah. So about the jobs, I have never been well enough to have a job. But when I am eventually at that point where I am well enough to have a job, I am nervous about going into a job and like facing the potential stigma that comes with having a job while having an invisible disability. Like at the moment, it's more so that I can't get into a school because of my living situation, and like it's too tiring for me to like get up and like go out of the flat, which has no lifts. So it's more so that, but I do think even if I could get out of my flat easily, I feel like I would still struggle like doing a whole day at the school. I think it would be way too tiring for me, and I feel like I would feel even more behind.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair.